This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Clones.
What is up?
What is up?
We'll crosstalk with Yurk and Meller in for Carm in just a moment. Thank you, Danny. Thank you, JR. Thank you, Jeff Dickerson and Jesse Rogers. Crosstalk brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Harness Racing is back at Hawthorne Racecourse with betting action every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night under the lights. Details at HawthorneRacecourse.com.
Meller and Yurk go pop, 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 pop.
Yurk, did you see the cat flying out of the fifth floor?
Yep.
What's up, fellas?
I hate cats. The only thing that could have happened better there was that cat was dead. Not a fan of cats. Shot.
How about a little respect for the cat? Remark,
I don't care about cats. You got the wrong guy. Wrong guy here, champ.
How about a little respect that the cat went, I ain't burning up.
No, live cats aren't much fun.
I love a good pussycat.
Yeah, dead cats I'm a fan of.
You can say that, but just not three times.
I love pussycats. I love pussycats. I love pussycats.
It's wonderful, though, that the fact it found a way to survive.
That video Danny put
up
so unbelievable when he bounces off the grass.
My initial thought was, though, that is the cat okay? Because it's still a far jump. And even though it ran off.
They got it.
Did
they checked it out. It's
all
fine.
Good? All right. It went to a vet?
It's a Southside cat. It's fine.
Right.
It's about
survival.
Yeah.
It's like he was out there, you know?
Yeah.
Spread its wings and kind of
his legs
landed
too.
Like a parachute. Whatever parachute he could have was there, and he found a way to survive. So
I ain't burned up in here, dog.
Good for him. I'm not a fan of cats.
It's hot in here.
Not a fan of cats or cat people.
Hey, man, it's getting hot in here. I'm up out of here.
Hey, Kat, when did you start to feel the heat inside that building?
Yeah, man, it started getting on that tail.
I see a person with cats, I'm suspect, you know?
The flames started getting on those tails.
I'm suspect.
You smell a little smoky. You any idea what I've been up into today?
Is that the residual from the smoke in the building or the smokes that you request all the time, Kat?
Yes.
Yes, all right.
So great.
Man, it started getting smoky in there. I was like, I'm about it. I got nine lives. Here go number six. Whee!
Three more to go. Speaking of Southside, we have the best team in baseball on the Southside.
Yes!
That is pretty awesome.
And you got a manager who knows how to load manage. He's done a good job.
Nah.
He's not using guys early in the season. I was reading something last night where he does not want to use relievers as much as he possibly can avoid it back-to-back days in the first 3 months of the season.
Oh, he's evolving.
Listen, most good baseball teams, their front offices, that is the edict. You don't want to use relievers back-to-back whenever you can avoid it. Now, he did use Liam Hendricks in back-to-back outings.
Five-inning save.
Five out save,
yes.
He did use Liam Hendricks the previous day for 28 pitches, and yesterday, I'm glad he went to them, because that was a situation where they were testing Jose Ruiz to see if he could actually come in a big moment. Not ready for that yet.
Nope.
But you know what? Tony went to Liam Hendricks, got the win. That's great. The Sox are rolling. They sweep the Twins. I'm ecstatic as a White Sox fan. And I'll tell you this. May 14th, I have very few complaints. The great thing for me is they have lived up to expectations up to this point on May 14th.
With devastating injury.
And that's all you can ask for, I think, as a Sox fan, right?
Like, they don't have nagging injury. You got two of your best players gone for the year, maybe.
The hope is that they'll be the September call-ups.
Yes.
Eloy and Robert at the end.
Right. You don't need to make a massive trade at the deadline if you're getting two huge bats back into the lineup in September.
But you may not know then.
If.
No, you're right. That's the thing, is you can't get too far out ahead of yourself and say, all right, these guys are locks to have back in the lineup, because they're very serious injuries. And I'll be honest, Luis Robert, until I see him running around, you know, shagging balls in center field, and that's not going to probably happen until September, mm-hmm. I don't think you can necessarily count on him coming back. Eloy, I'm a little more optimistic that he should be able to at least DH for you if you need him in the playoffs. Luis Robert, you just got to say, all right, let's see how this rehab goes before you can assume he'll be back.
He gives Jake Lamb a start. Now, he may not be great defensively. It's a home run. He gets Abreu a day where even Jose said after the game, get off my feet for just bat, and then I just get to relax. That's a big body to be lumbering around 150 times a year.
Okay, but the White Sox roster, you're giving La Russa way too much credit. How about the team that they've assembled being as good as
they
are?
That's Rick Hahn.
I mean, listen, I'm not knocking Tony. They're at where they're at right now. No, I'm just saying I'm not giving him too much credit either at this point. We're, you know, what are we, 35 games into the season?
Mid-May.
I mean, I'm happy.
What is the record?
22-13.
Okay, if they were 13-22, you'd be crushing it.
Okay.
Well, but be deserving.
Should they be 25-10? Should they maybe be 25-10?
I'll take the best record in baseball. Let's see where it goes. This is a great opportunity to sweep away a Royals team that's not very good. Take 3 of 4.
Yeah, do whatever you can. Just continue the momentum.
Keep stacking wins.
All you're doing is stacking wins. You just want to see where it goes. The most impressive thing for me with the White Sox is the pitching. Yeah. I didn't expect to see this from Rodon or from Cease.
How about Lynn?
Now, moving forward now, when we get to the month of June, let's see the Stars go six and two-thirds, seven, right?
Yeah.
I mean, 5 innings and struggling with 115 pitches doesn't get the job done every day.
And to that point, you do have less off days as the season rolls along. So you'll certainly run into situations where it will be beneficial to have your starters carry the workload as you go deeper into the season. So, yeah, six. And I'll tell you what, today would be a great day as well because of the way, like, Tony didn't say it yesterday, Tony La Russa, but Liam Hendricks is probably not going to be, if they can avoid it, I would imagine they're going to try to not use him today, having used him for two consecutive days. And here's the thing. It sets up well because you've got the split doubleheader and the seven-inning doubleheaders, right?
Right.
So if Giolito can go deep and give you six innings, or maybe even a complete game, again, they take advantage of the schedule right now. That's great for the White Sox. And, again, I don't have complaints on May 14th. I'm ecstatic.
Absolutely.
Here's the matchups and the lines right now on PointsBet. It is Keller and Giolito. Giolito, an overwhelming minus 210. Mm. But the run line is intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. -1.5 runs is plus 100.
It's early for Giolito, though. He's got game one. And I know he prefers a 7-10 start.
Yeah, he likes the night. That's a good point, Hoodie.
It's an afternoon.
And then Jacob Junis against Michael Kopech, and he's minus 191. But again, on the run line, plus 114, -1.5. Sox are good, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we know.
Top shelf.
Oh, yeah.
Shopping at the top shelf.
And Hoodie, I don't know if you feel the same way, but every time, it's a little treat, too, in this White Sox season, that you've got Kopech occasionally stepping in, you know, for a spot start or a doubleheader when they pop up. To have the tantalizing potential of a Michael Kopech just trot out there once every couple of weeks and start and dream about what this team could be down the road as well. It's right now, this is the best time to be a fan of a sports team when they're on the ascent up and things are going well.
Cubs and Tigers in Detroit. It's Arrieta minus 121. And
here goes Guy.
My
Tariq
guy.
Skubal will pitch for the Tigers. They are plus 120.
It's tough for me to cheer for the Cubs right now. My two favorite players have been gone for a while. Arrieta was on a 10-day IL, and Happ, my guy Ian Happ, who's been miserable this year.
Did you get a year on that penny, by the way?
Yeah, I did. It was 2012, the one that looks just absolutely just demolished. 2012. Then I got a 1981 penny in here.
I know you thought you had like a 1959.
1959. I thought I had a 1912 penny. but
that penny's dilapidated.
Ian Happ has been miserable this year. So the two guys I want to cheer for, I can't even cheer for. Both were on the IL for a while. At least Arrieta comes back, and I can watch with interest, watch with care. The rest of these Cubs, for me, caca.
And no Mariznick for me. When is he coming back, Cap? You have any?
That's going to be a player.
That's going to be a bit.
Mariznick.
And then that's Hoodie's guy.
Hammy.
He plays center.
He was shot by a sniper the other day.
Hammy?
Hammy.
Got
the
a
old Hammy?
Hammy,
yep.
Ah! The grassy knoll? Is
and
that
then
what
tonight,
happened?
Cavaliers at Wizards, and if the Wizards win, which they should at
yeah,
home.
God.
That ends the Bulls season.
Are you guys going to be able to make time to watch the pro basketball? I'm sorry, not pro. The basketball Hall of Fame ceremony? Well, because it's tomorrow. I believe it starts at 4:30. Like, this is where I wonder. Like, if you're the NBA, what are you doing? Like slotting it in on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, that's a no-show.
It'll be up at some point against the Preakness.
I was in that studio where JR was right now doing the show. And I look up at the screen and I see Michael Jordan doing his induction. I'm like, it's today? It was a Friday night. I was like, what is this? Friday night? That thing should be prime time, like ABC,
Sunday
whatever.
Night, yes. 8 o'clock.
I mean,
Sunday night works.
The worst. The NBA is the worst with that.
I mean,
or basketball. It's not the NBA, but basketball is the worst with that.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I know pro football does it on the Saturday night.
But at a good time, though. Prime time from Canton.
Yeah, and it's in the summer, so I wonder if that plays a role. But at the same time, I guess.
But it's usually the same place all the time. It's right before the Hall of Fame game. It's that weekend.
You know when it is. In terms of, I guess it got messed up because of COVID. Because it usually isn't in February.
You know what is? It's been in September actually. The Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so they've bounced it around. They haven't carved out.
The weather was still good here.
Well, your microphone's off, my friend.
We could hear you, but
I knew the weather was good here.
Okay,
because I remember there was a whole golf thing that Jordan did before, and he was mad at the league because they tripled the price of the tickets the year that he was coming in. Or to the Hall of Fame,
yeah,
because he had to buy like 100 tickets for family and friends. You only get like a table, and he's like, "Yeah, and they tripled the price." He goes, "Not the fact that I can afford it. I don't like them doing that." So
it's like gouging the price of gasoline on the East Coast. You know,
sure,
you can't do it. The government said, "Well, you can't do it." You know, that's kind of illegal. You're taking advantage, much less the law of supply and demand. If you got no supply and the demand is great, you could raise whatever you want, and whoever can pay can pay. Right? In theory?
Yeah.
In theory, that's right.
That's the way that economics works.
But they tell you it can't be done, you know, in this type of situation when there's a shortage of gas and there's a big thing going on with the pipeline. In theory, Jordan's right. Well, why, when I'm getting inducted, all of a sudden I got to buy 100 tickets at triple the price, which is absolutely crazy. I agree. But a lot of these Hall of Fames, that's the way they do it.
Are they?
It's like they're money-making ventures for whoever puts it on because they hold you hostage. If you're going to get inducted, you got people that want to go. You got to buy the tables at whatever price they set.
Yeah. Are they upping the price because Jordan is giving the speech for Kobe and Kim Mularkey?
Possibly. Possibly, you wouldn't know, surprise
me. Have they upped it already for this time around as well?
I wouldn't be shocked.
It wouldn't. Thanks, Yurko, for the drop in. There you go. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you very much.
That's what I'm here for.
Thank you for the drop in.
All right, kick us out, Yurk, as Hoodie likes to say.
Yeah, it's time to go, guys. Time to say goodbye.
Oh,
there's a little passion in your voice. Like, get the H out of here.
Say goodbye.
That's sweeter today.
Hey,
you got a pick for the Preakness?
The second Baffert horse.
That would be concert tour.
Yep.
Will that horse be disqualified?
Oh, I'm sure it will.
Okay. By the way,
it will be disqualified. Yeah.
I didn't even dare ask Danny to play the breaking news sounder, but they did announce Medina Spirit passed its drug test this morning, so it is eligible.
Listen, if you're horse racing, you can't run the Preakness without the winner.
Just to get it correct, though, passed this drug test for this race, second sample.
Correct.
That they're taking a loop back there.
Pimlico tested him before they let him run at the Preakness, and he passed.
Oh God.
Take that.
All right, boys.
I want to go party with that cat.
That's going to be weird.
Have a great
weekend. You're the one. You're the one.
We'll see you Monday. Hoodie and I back at 7. See you.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _Chicago.
-22-13, 6 wins in a row, the best run differential in baseball. The Chicago White Sox are rolling, Yurko, as they sweep the Twins after sweeping the Royals.
This is the show we're going to do, huh? Let's celebrate the Southside Hitmen. Is this what we're going to do today?
I was setting the table, but if you'd like to, we can discuss the Go-Go's, Belinda Carlisle, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which has clearly piqued your attention.
Well, Belinda Carlisle has always piqued my attention, especially in the 80s.
Heaven is a place on Earth.
It was in my dorm room.
Yes, or at least it was in my dorm room.
Those eyes, man.
Yeah, they were absolutely striking back then. I saw a picture of the group, the fivesome, as they're going in now. Mm-hmm. Well, that's where late 30, early 40 surgeries don't age well once you get to be 50 and 60. That's when those decisions you make come back to haunt you at an age that's later on. But I do want to talk to White Sox. I do want to talk about the best team in baseball. I want to talk about the best manager in baseball, too, of course.
Okay.
The great Tony La Russa. I don't want to sidetrack you from your Southside love. Let me tell you, let's face it.
Yes.
Since 2005.
Yes.
Really? Mm-hmm. And maybe 2008. What was the year they had the blackout game?
2008.
John Danks pitched that. 2008. You've had 11 years of crap.
Yes.
Really, it's been 11 years of crap on the South Side. Hey, and finally now you got a chance to, after last year, to throw your chest out there and to wear your White Sox stuff proudly. Great. Congratulations. Good for you guys. I'm happy you finally, you're like the cicada. The cicada comes out every 17 years. Now I'm seeing more White Sox stuff than I've ever seen. In cadence, you know, in lockstep with the cicada showing itself for the first time in 17 years, the White Sox can finally come out of the roost.
They could
come out of their basements. They could come out of wherever they've been hiding for the last 17 years.
Cocoons.
Here we go. Now you're back. Welcome back, White Sox fans. You're finally a pertinent club again.
And we absolutely will celebrate it. We'll celebrate it with Connor McKnight at 11 o'clock. He's going to join us. We'll ask him. Although, we were shooting this around, actually, in the IDOT bullpen. And by the way, IDOT wants to remind you, driving responsibly in construction and work zones really is a matter of life or death. Learn more online or through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com. Connor McKnight will join us at 11 o'clock. He, of course, handles pre and post for the vast majority of White Sox games here on ESPN 1000. He also has plenty of play-by-play that he's been doing because Len Casper's had some television duties to take care of. So Connor McKnight will join us at 11. And Yurko, we were tossing this around in the IDOT bullpen. Should we ask him about the White Sox, or should we just on the spot grill him and have him do play-by-play of movie scenes, famous movie scenes?
I think we should name the scene and put him on the spot to see if he can remember that scene.
Off the top of his head?
The top of his head.
We can start compiling lists. I think during the break we can...
Well, and we've got to be nice because Connor McKnight is not 75 years old.
This is true, yes.
We've got to go to his wheelhouse.
So let's do that. If you want to tweet us a movie scene that you would like us to throw at Connor McKnight on the spot and see what he can give us off the top of his head. Maybe we'll do that. We'll probably broach the White Sox with him just a bit as well.
A little bit, of course.
Because they are the best team in baseball. And it led me to the question, look, it is May 14th, and the expectations were high for the White Sox. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, especially after last year.
So I don't want to get ahead of myself, but on May 14th, I think it's undeniable when you have the best record in baseball and the best run differential. They've lived up to expectations to this point.
Yes, I confirm.
What's the last time something lived up to expectations for you?
The last time something lived up to expectations
for me. I'm going to go broad here. I'm talking about a movie, a television show. Maybe it was a meal at a restaurant that you hadn't been to.
I've got one for you right off the bat because people told me it was good and I didn't realize how good it was.
Okay.
Ozarks.
There you go.
Ozarks.
Netflix. Ozark.
Ozark. Ozarks. Ozark. Either way. Everybody told me it was good. It was good. I watched it first thing and that body dropped to the ground and I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yes.
You've got to be kidding me. What is happening here? I mean, that is a first episode of a show that comes out and it slams you in the face.
Intense.
It punches you right away. There ain't no sleeping on the first episode of Ozark. So I'd have to say that that outdid the expectations that were set for me.
Jason Bateman and Laura Linney on the Netflix show Ozark.
You know what got it for me? Cobra Kai.
Really? Now,
not for me.
I have not watched Cobra Kai.
Carm came in one day and was talking about it, and I'm like, Carm, that looks so stupid. He's like, Merck, each episode is like 23 minutes.
Yep.
He's like, you're going to laugh your you-know-what off. And he goes, and then you're gonna.
I tried Cobra Kai.
Oh, I couldn't get enough of it.
Couldn't do it.
Couldn't get enough
of it. Yeah, well, that did it for you, though.
That's
the question. Right. What did it for you?
Right. So I'm just curious, fans out there, 312-332-3776, what's the last time something lived up to expectations for you? Whatever it is, because maybe it's a television show, maybe it's a movie, maybe it's a sports team. JR, for you, what's the last time something lived up to expectations?
I said Chris Bryant. They drafted him high. He was the one that came up through the system, led the team to the title, rookie of the year, MVP. He was everything
World
that they
Series.
Said he was going to be.
Yeah, World I mean, Series.
Yeah, led him to a title, yes.
Right.
So, and that follow-up question then. So Chris Bryant arrived prior to them winning the World Series. They're kind of lumped together in some ways. Did you, for you, a longtime suffering Cubs fan, did winning the World Series, and you too, Yurko, did actually winning the World Series live up to the expectations for you?
I was emotional.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was emotional for me. Having been there, being in Cleveland, it was emotional. I got interviewed by a TV station out there.
In Cleveland?
In Cleveland. I had my T-shirt on, you know, the the motto of the year. I forget what it is now. I have the T-shirt put away because it doesn't fit comfortably anymore.
Try not to suck. Was
right.
that?
It could have been that one.
Yeah.
Try, or it had the glasses, you know, or whatever.
Sure.
It
Joe
was.
Madden's.
Either
yeah.
way. They interviewed me and they asked me. I said, yeah, listen, I said, my brother's a Cubs fan. My dad's a Cubs fan. We're all Cubs fans. We all watch. We're kids. And I was just like, finally. Then at 3 a.m. when Tom Ricketts came back to the hotel, we were still in the lobby celebrating. And it was just a sense of relief, you know,
yes.
over the course of time. Did it live up to it? Yes, because you won. But it was just such a sense of relief that finally it's over. No more 1908. You take that and you throw that in the garbage. Now in 2100, they'll be talking about, 2016. It's been 2016. It's been such a long time.
So you got another 84-year drought on the horizon?
Got another drought on the horizon, guys.
So that's the question today at 312-332-3776.
You know who is the ultimate that lived up to the hype? I mean, there's no one even close to this. Actually, there's two guys.
LeBron
and Tiger.
I you know what? That's a great point, Merck, because
LeBron and Tiger. I mean, there's
actual hype about LeBron.
Yes.
You know?
He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as the next great thing, and he's even better than what he turned out.
Absolutely.
And Tiger, the same thing. He was supposed to be this. He was on
Griffin show.
No, it was Mike Wallace show.
Dinah Shore.
Or whatever it was. No, it wasn't. What show was it? Was it Merck Griffin?
He was putting as a 2-year-old? Are you talking?
Yeah. And, but everyone talked about how great he was going to be, and he's the second greatest golfer of all time. So
no, LeBron's a great one. LeBron was his ESPN started broadcasting high school basketball games because of the hype surrounding LeBron James. And I think in 2021 now, it's undeniable that he has lived up to whatever expectations you could have had for him. I mean, even if you thought, is he going to be the best player ever? He's come about as close as you possibly can without actually getting there. So that's a great one as well. So that's the question, 312-332-3776. What is something that actually, in lieu of what the Sox are doing right now on May 14th with the best record in baseball, what is something that actually lived up to the expectations for you? This is Carmen and Yurko. I'm Meller sitting in for Carmen, who's hanging out with a trip to New Orleans. We'll
get an update from him.
No, we don't want to bother him.
No, don't bother him. That's Sylvie's shtick.
Sylvie does. Wake him up in the hotel and
wake
see
up
if
at
he,
3 a.m.
Merck, you can do that. You can call him and see if he's awake, and we'll ask him how New Orleans is going. But Meller sitting in for Carm today. Plenty of your calls. Also, we'll check in with Connor McKnight and Yerk. The rookies are headed to Bears minicamp. So we'll chat a little bit about that and have a Justin Fields question as well. Plenty to do right here on Carmen and Yerko on ESPN 1000.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
We're talking about the team with the best record in baseball, who has a split doubleheader today with coverage beginning at 1:30 here on ESPN 1000. Connor McKnight will have your pregame show. Then he'll be also joining us at 11 o'clock today. We'll ask him how excited he's been about the way things have unfolded for the White Sox to this point. And also, in light of what the White Sox have been able to do on May 14th, understanding that there's still plenty more to go and baseball seasons can be a roller coaster. Understanding that on May 14th, with the best record in baseball, with the White Sox clearly living up to expectations to this point, asking you the question, what's the last time something lived up to expectations for you? Yurko gave us Ozark. Merck mentioned that LeBron and Tiger as athletes. JR said that Chris Bryant was somebody who met all the expectations for him. For me personally, Yurko, I'm thinking about it, and you know, you mentioned TV shows. You know what really I was surprised? Yellowstone. Have you watched with Kevin Costner?
You mentioned it, but I have not.
Tom Waddle was hyping that for a while, and I will admit that having seen lots of high-prestige dramas over the years, that was one that I was kind of skeptical about, and I watched it recently. I finished 3 seasons and probably, you know, binge-watched it in over the period of a month. And that was truly sensational. And I think season 4 gets rolling at some point in June. So that's something that, for me, lived up to the expectations, as the White Sox are doing so far this year.
And it's hard for me to, like, find a team that...
Yeah.
Maybe the dream team. The Dream Team was hyped, you know? It was hyped, and everybody, oh, look, we're going to come back. We're going to be proud. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Our college team lost 4 years ago. That's never going to happen again. And then the Dream Team delivered. Like, no team has ever delivered before.
Stepping on Angola's throat, winning by whatever it was, 60 points.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
the
a good
Angolans,
one.
The Angolans, they went back home, and they said, but they're pretty good.
So let's head on out to Kane County and say hello to Scott. Hey, Scott, you're on Carmen and Yurko. Meller in for Carm today.
Hello, boys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
Hey, first of all, Yellowstone does absolutely rock. I watch it. It's fantastic. But my daughter came home from school, and she told me about a show called Community.
It's
a comedy, and it is absolutely hysterical. It's got Joel McHale and Chevy Chase and a bunch of guys in it. Absolutely awesome as far as a comedy goes. But if you want a drama that's incredible, Billions. It's a Showtime show.
Yeah, I've seen it, but it's a bit hyped, though. Not necessarily that it's good. You know, how much hype has it received for you to go, oh, my heavens, I've got to watch it, and then it delivered on the hype?
Yeah, it's
I haven't felt to me from friends.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, I haven't had Billions be hyped. I think Kaplan was the guy that hyped Billions. You know, said it was good.
Cap is a big proponent of Billions. I know that Black and Abdallah have, I don't know if... they've done so just because it was a Cap suggestion, but they've obviously got the ongoing bit, What's Billions? And that, to me, is actually a better thing going than the show Billions. So the bit, What's Billions? But I personally haven't gotten into Billions. But look, there's lots of great television out there. And by no means, you know, I guess Billions, I'm kind of like, yeah, all right, not bad. But certainly nothing that I was overwhelmed by.
You know what? There was a pitcher on the Cubs who was living up to the hype. I thought he was going to be a Hall of Famer. I'm like, this guy is going to win 250 games and probably get us a World Series.
And what happened?
And then within 2 years, he was basically out of baseball. Mark Pryor.
Sure.
I mean, every time I see him walk onto the mound with the Dodgers, I'm just thinking, man, what could have been? What should have been?
He got smacked, right? Isn't that what happened to him?
He had a couple of weird
hit in the elbow.
Yeah, he got hit.
Line drive after... He had a
Marcus Giles, right? Wasn't it Marcus Giles who ran into him at second base, and that kind of threw him off? And
then he had the Just Ducky episode
with Harry, right?
with Harry, where he went out to do an autograph session or a photo set. Well, either one, it didn't end up signing autographs or taking photos. I mean, and that gave him a kind of a blast on the PR front too. Oh, there was a bunch of things that went wrong with that guy.
Yeah, what could have been. And Mark's right, though. You know, the first 2 years from Mark Pryor's career, I think, was it 22 wins? Did he win 22 games? He had a great, maybe it was 18.
It was 18 wins.
Yeah, but he had a phenomenal rookie year where he was just dominant, and it really did seem like they had hit a home run with Mark Pryor. And again,
it's going to be an easy topic if you say what was hyped up and failed.
Lived up to the expectations for a period of time. Right. You know what?
Living up to the expectations forever.
But that, you know what? That could be on me too, because I present to you on May 14th, the White Sox best team in baseball, living up to the expectations right now. Anything that you could have had.
Do you think they'll win 117 games?
I think that's a little much.
I'm asking you right now to put the number to total on what they'll win this year.
I would say I'm going, because the AL Central looks like a bad division.
Yes.
And, you know, I know a lot of people were talking about the Twins and how it felt good to sweep them finally, but they're a bad baseball team.
Right, we understand.
So I think setting the number for me, I'm going to say I think 95 wins.
95.
That's a good year. It's hard to win 100 games in baseball.
It is.
You think they'll win more than 95 right now?
I think the way they're playing and their pitching, I think they can win every single game. I don't think you'll see a game that gets away from them where it's 12-0 they lose or 12-2.
That's a good point, because when you have a starting rotation that 1-5 every day gives you a chance, you're in good shape, because occasionally you're going to have the blip where pitching's fickle and you'll have a bad outing from time to time. But when you trot out five guys day after day who, you know, put you in good position, and that's exactly what the White Sox have, the way Rodon and Cease have come in, and when Giolito's been your weak link, you know, and Dallas Keuchel, you know, he's had moments where you like, you know, but he is what he is. He's not going to strike out hitters. He's probably, in terms of, he'll give you innings, Yerk, but he's not going to be the dominant player he once was.
This is a team that can go 40-10 over 50 at some point.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? There'll be a 50-game stretch. Like, say if it started 6 games ago.
Sure.
Well, you can go through a 50-game stretch, yes, and you'll look at them and say, oh, my God, they went 38-12.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the kind of talent that you've got on this team as far as your starting pitching goes.
So 312-332-3776. That's how Joe in Oak Forest got in. Hey, Joe, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy Friday.
You as
hey,
well.
What's going on?
So I was trying to keep it with sports related. I was just trying to search my mind, and I went to MMA, and for me, John Jones had tons of hype around him, mm-hmm, and he's lived up to all of it. The only downside for him is his out of the octagon stuff. And another guy in MMA that I was thinking of too is Israel Adesanya, the Last Airbender. He fought for a long time coming up from all these different fight leagues, and he came to the UFC, and he's definitely delivered. And you know, those are my two sports takes on those.
Yeah, John Jones I'm familiar with. He's had a few testing issues.
Yes, some issue with substance abuse.
But you give it to him. Isn't he the brother of Chandler Jones?
Is he?
Right.
I think he's the brother of the two Jones brothers.
Arizona Cardinals sec artist, Chandler Jones.
Yeah, and he's lived up to the hype. He's tough, tougher than nails. You get in the ring with him, boy, I tell you, good luck.
Let's try Swami, who's in Arlington Heights. Hey, Swami.
The cage.
Hey, good talking to you guys. First of all, Bloodline on Netflix is what you guys have to watch. It's
Bloodline.
Phenomenal. Bloodline, yeah, mm-hmm, on Netflix. Very, very good. And I got a question for Yurko. I'm in a little dilemma. I have season tickets with three other guys, so four of us. We have four seats.
Right.
And I have first pick for, we each get two games.
For Bears schedule? For the Bears schedule? Swami?
Yeah, Bears.
All right, well, the usual suspect would be the Packers game, would be a usual suspect.
Right.
I've got to get it out in front. I had a copy of the Bears schedule.
I'm pulling it up as we speak.
Thank you.
So the
home opener is the Bengals.
Sure, and that's
it's
always
the Bengals.
Swami, so I'm in a similar situation because I share season ticket holder tickets with a group of guys, and we do a similar thing where we generally try and trade out, but I always have my, you know, I look through the schedule and wonder, okay, so what games am I targeting?
Right.
Now, the one thing is the early season games are always good because of the warm weather.
Right.
If you're going to tailgate, those are huge bonuses, you know, no matter the opponent.
As I peruse the schedule quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in no specific order, depending upon your preference. Cleveland, San Francisco, Green Bay.
I'm looking at the Niners because it's Halloween. That might get a little crazy, so that could be a good game.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now the Cleveland game is on the road, Yerk.
Cincinnati. So I apologize. You got two choices, Frisco or Green Bay.
Okay.
Those are Yurko's preferences.
In my mind's eye.
And Swam mentioned the show Bloodline on Netflix. Now, I have not watched Yurk, but my Netflix profile believes that I am an avid Bloodline watcher. The reason being that when I went on vacation about a month ago to Colorado, my mom came and dog sat for me. And while she dog sat for me, she plowed through the entire series of Bloodline on my Netflix user account because she does not subscribe. And she was at home kind of just killing time. And so she decided to watch the series Bloodline. And now my Netflix profile believes
that you're a Bloodline
guy. I am a Bloodline
now
user.
Now, how much has Bloodline been promoted, though, you know?
This is
the first time I've heard of watching the Bloodline.
So
if our caller is telling us Bloodline is the thing, then it's the and then it lives up to the expectations, and I can go ahead and say yes.
That's a good point because the way things are watched nowadays, whatever platform they happen to be on, it can be difficult just to find what is worth your time. You know what I mean? There's so many options, whether it's a Disney Plus streaming, HBO Max, Netflix, Amazon Prime, so many different avenues to watch something in addition to regular TV.
I'll give you another one now. The Marvel movies I always liked, right? I always liked the Marvel movies. Loved them. They were cheesy at the beginning, like Iron Man 2. Cheesy. And then all of a sudden the effects took over as far as like the technology for the effects. So when Endgame came up, that was right at the end, right? Endgame mm-hmm. and the one that had Thanos in it, the two of them?
Yes, yes.
Those final two were promoted like there was no tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like they were going to be the greatest things in the world. And that final one was.
Sure.
The one that they got dusted and the one where they came back,
mm-hmm.
Those two were the cats meow.
Lived up to the hype for you.
They lived up to the hype after having cheese. Like, the Fantastic Four was a Marvel movie, and it sucked.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so they got better. And then by the end, it was, oh, this is it. Boom, this is the greatest thing in the world. And you know what? They were.
And
they lived up to the hype.
The expectations will be set at Halas Hall today as Bears rookie minicamp gets going.
Sorry,
Justin
kid.
Fields. That's all right. No worries. He's Yurko. I'm Mellor in for Carmen. This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Bears rookie minicamp gets going at Halas Hall today. Justin Fields has his first opportunity to throw a pass in front of Bears coaches.
That's the guy we were hoping lives up to the hype. I mean, right?
Absolutely.
We're hoping he's Patrick Mahomes 2.0, or Justin Fields 1.0.
Do we need to? Yeah. Like, can we separate Patrick Mahomes? I'd settle for, if he can be Deshaun Watson on the field. That would be more than enough for me at this point. But, you're right, Mark. We're all hoping that those are the expectations that Justin Fields can now live up to. He'll have an opportunity to throw his first pass in front of coaches today.
Yeah.
Not Matt Nagy, though. Matt Nagy is going to have to zoom in as he had a close contact with somebody in his household who has COVID.
Close encounters of the worst kind.
So Matt Nagy will not be in attendance for the Bears rookie minicamp today.
So here's what happens at these rookie minicamps.
Yes.
You get in, you get a little bit of an introduction to the playbook. They come in, and I don't know if they give you physicals here right now. Usually they wait until July when you come in, and they give you a little bit of a physical to make sure you're 100% okay. Passes his physical, he's going to start. Come in, you say hello to everybody, you meet everybody, you shake a lot of hands with everybody, you do a couple of Zoom calls with the media.
Mm-hmm.
You get out on the field, there's no pads, there's no nothing crazy, just helmets. And you go about the business of just kind of basically getting a sweat in.
That's yes.
All. Getting a little bit of a sweat in. You meet with the weight coaches. You get introduced to their program, what they have going on, kind of an introduction to the system and what you're going to be running for the year, introduction to the playbooks, that kind of thing, and that's it.
And let's
that's all that really happens here.
And the truth is, in 2021, everything's on electronics. You're on your iPad now.
Yeah.
Like your playbook,
Right. Just being introduced in 1999, by the way, as I was exiting the league.
Okay, yeah.
They were just introducing the computers and all the game plans on computers.
So it's not like, Justin Fields will be behind the eight ball because Matt Nagy's not in attendance.
Right.
Like everything's going to get done. It's just a little hiccup for Matt Nagy not to have the opportunity to meet Justin Fields face to face. But the truth is, you have to imagine there's going to be plenty of texting and calling between the head coach and, what we hope to be the future savior of the franchise.
Could even be the theoretical Zoom call where the coach is on the Zoom call with his head up on the screen, to, in essence, talking to everybody.
I would imagine that's probably going to take place.
I'm from planet Houston, that kind of thing.
But it also led us to the question that we were throwing around. Do you want Justin Fields? I think I know your answer. Do you want Justin Fields to start week one, York?
My answer is yes.
Okay.
I want him to come out and establish himself as the alpha dog.
Yes.
I want him to come out and say, I am by far the best quarterback with the Chicago Bears. I'm going to comprehend and understand this system because of the great score that I had on that retention test. I'm going to come out here and I'm going to be the guy. You guys will understand clearly that I am the man for this squad, period.
Absolutely.
That's what I want to see. Day one starter. It's his job. Let's go.
Will you be concerned at all if Andy Dalton is the week one starter against the Rams? Or do you just say, that's a decision based on what they've seen from him that they had to make?
Remember, Justin Fields has to take it.
Okay.
He's got to take it.
Yes.
I anticipate he'll be in a position where he's going to take the job from everybody and be the crystal clear number one guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's my anticipation. If that doesn't happen, I'm not upset.
Yeah.
Or disgruntled. Maybe they just have a little bit different concept for him. He's going to end up playing. He's going to end up playing.
This year?
Right.
Yes.
This year.
Yes,
he will end up playing.
I believe that will absolutely be the case. I cannot envision a scenario where Andy Dalton is playing so well that the Bears will be in a position where they have to hold off Justin Fields. At some point, I agree with you completely, Yerk, that he will be playing this year. I think, too, the latest I would expect it to come would be sometime probably around week four. I think I'm looking at that that home game, their second home game against the Lions.
Right.
That looks like a very opportune time.
Especially
if after that game in Cleveland, if they lose to Cleveland and the offense doesn't absolutely annihilate that Cleveland defense, which, let's be honest, Cleveland, the talent they've assembled on defense is amongst the best in football. That could be the perfect opportunity. 3 weeks in, watching Justin Fields, giving him the opportunity to watch Andy Dalton, how he handles in on a week-to-week basis, and then say, all right, let's go beat the Lions.
I'm not crazy, but I anticipate him starting 1-1.
Yes.
So you go into that Cleveland game trying to figure out exactly where you're going to be. Then if things don't go well, you see Fields coming in and being a starter in that game.
And you let the talent rise to the top.
That's the training wheel entrance into the NFL.
He's Yurko. I'm Mel Ayer. Plenty more Bears talk to come. But up next, Connor McKnight joins us to set the table for a White Sox doubleheader today in just 2 minutes.